Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Howdy, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 30th, 2011, episode 217, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah.
What day is it? Tell me.
It's Tuesday.
I can't believe it. I just don't believe it.
It's like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day. It's beautiful. Beautiful day, yeah, yeah. Beautiful day.
And I hope you guys are having beautiful days over there in Lexington, Kentucky. I know August can be a brutal month for everybody involved, but especially when you're living in this godforsaken hellhole called Phoenix, Arizona, where it was 117 degrees yesterday. 117, people! That's ridiculous. How was Lexington?
Actually, it was absolutely the most beautiful day of the year. It was like 81 degrees, sunny, nice breeze, no humidity. Absolutely perfect.
Prepare my room for next August.
It was absolutely perfect.
Oh, gosh, that sounds good. Yeah, it's just a little ridiculous here, and not to overuse that word, but it is just a godforsaken place. Like, there's just we were not designed to live here in the month of August. And what's really cool about August is you get that extreme heat all day, and the moment that the sun starts to go down behind the mountains, then you get the mosquitoes. So that's fun.
And you were moving. Did you get your house moved?
Well, I'm gonna tell you about that when I give out my first daily Winnie today.
All right, cool. Well, let's go to Jennifer, find out what's going to be on today's show, and then we'll get on with things.
On today's Pfizer Tuesday edition, we will open up, as usual, with a few good Winnies. And today, for a little variety, we will have a few good knickers as well, because Maddie from knickernews.net is here to tell us all about her nifty blog. And after all that racket, we'll hit up the worldwide horsey headlines for a few good laughs before we drag everyone into a Tuesday depression with another chapter of Black Beauty. Stay tuned.
Oh, stop.
It's sad. I'm sorry. You cannot deny. It's sad, sad, sad.
Two chapters left, people.
Sorry. All right, my first daily Winnie goes out to poor Katie Murphy, who's on day three without power up there in Hopkinton, New Hampshire. And she's day three without power. I saw her posted on our Facebook. We had her on the show last week. She's the one that we follow her budding romance with her and Roger, right? So,
yes,
Katie, we're thinking about you. Poor New Hampshire and Vermont are just being devastated with flooding. I talked to my brother in Connecticut. He is with the Volunteer Fire Department. He has not stopped since the storm. They estimate in his area of eastern Connecticut that 20% of the power lines in the entire state are down and 10% of all the trees are down. So,
oh, my gosh. That's ridiculous.
It is. It's unbelievable. And then the rivers are all flooding in Massachusetts, all through New England. So it's just been bad up there. Good news, though, slight bit of good news for the Horse Radio Network family is Helena got her power back this morning.
So, yay!
Yeah, so Helena in Little Compton, Rhode Island, now has her power. But our thoughts and prayers are out to everybody up there. I saw some pictures of Connecticut horse farms that were totally flooded all the way up and around the barn. All you could see from the aerial shots were fencing. So I hope that they all got their horses out. And
Glenn, I was going to ask you, doesn't it make you mad that people keep saying, oh, because every time you turn on the news, the first thing they say is, well, it just wasn't as bad as everybody was predicting.
Oh, you know what?
And,
I saw a news article out of New Hampshire, or out of Vermont, actually, that was just about that. They said, you know, it's all because the reporters want to see a city underwater. This is 1,000 little towns underwater. They said yesterday, it is as bad. It's going to be, like they're saying, billions and billions of dollars worth of damage here. There's a lot of people that lost their lives. The press just drives me insane. But they said, this was an interesting statistic yesterday, at least one person in every town and city in Connecticut was without power.
Oh, my gosh.
How can you say that's not bad?
Exactly. And they're like, oh, it wasn't as bad. There's only 27 people dead. I'm like, it's not bad. 27 people are, what the heck? What's wrong with you people? Hey, if you go to eventingnation.com, one of my favorite little blog websites, they Peter Adkins, who owns Run, Henny Run, you know, H.J. Hampton, he posted some photos post-hurricane. He was out hacking one of his horses at the Green Mountain Horse Association in South Woodstock, Vermont, and he shows the cross-country course. He was snapping away photos. It's underwater. I mean, it is completely underwater, but it's also completely green, and I'm very jealous. But they have a horse trial in a couple weeks, and I don't know how they're going to even get this place ready because the whole river flooded the whole cross-country course.
Did you see the picture from Maryland there that lady sent in of the tree that almost hit that big fancy building?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. They're so close to losing those beautiful columns in their white fancy house. They got lucky.
I don't know if you've ever been to Vermont before, but they have a lot of covered bridges in Vermont, and we had a lot of them, and we had like four or five in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, Jennifer and I drove our little pony across one, terrified the crap out of her one time.
Went.
But, yes.
She's a smart pony.
Terrified her, though. She didn't like the covered bridge. She didn't like the wood. But we watched video yesterday of several of the covered bridges in Vermont just going away downstream, totally taken out. So,
wow.
You know. Yeah, I agree totally with you. I am very upset with the media about that. So best to everybody who is dealing with that. Speaking of that, there were a couple things, videos that came out yesterday I want Jennifer to post. We're going to be posting a bunch of videos this morning. The one, and I'll do this as a daily news. The first Daily Winnie goes out to this brave guy who was delivering medicine in Vermont across this river going across the road, and the cars couldn't get through, and apparently medicine needed to get to the other side. You could see the police and the medical workers on one side, and Jennifer's going to post this video. This guy rides his horse through this torrent, and he obviously knew how to do it because he was putting the horse pointing toward the torrent, and he got to the other side, delivered his medicine, and went back through. Just shows you horses can do things that automobiles still can't do. And to prove that point, there's a second video Jennifer's going to post on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning of an Amish buggy in Lancaster, or in Pennsylvania there, Kutztown, I believe, going through this really deep water, must be 3 or 4 feet deep, and a car sitting there totally conked out, not going anywhere. So it was an interesting juxtaposition with this video. I thought it was pretty cool. So it just goes to show that sometimes the old methods of getting around work better than the new ones. The horse is brave.
Well, a comment about the guy taking medicine, it's very impressive. It was like the cops are on one side scratching their heads, and then the people that need the medical attention are on the other side scratching their heads, and he's like, I got it. And he just takes the medicine directly across. It's awesome. And then the Amish thing, all I could think of was Black Beauty going through that big, giant, flooded road. And he's like, I'm just going to trot on up. I'm doing my job, but, man, this is hard work. And about as he starts to pass the Volkswagen Jetta that is dead in the middle of the entire flooded road, you can just see him, like, the Amish horse was working so tremendously hard, and I was thinking to myself, they better take that horse back and put his warm cover on him and give him a nice warm mash after this, because he's going to be really tired if he could colic, and then they'll have to bleed him now.
We've been spending way too much time with Black Beauty. We really have.
I know. I need to get this thing over with. My God.
So those are my videos. Here's your first daily, Winnie.
Well, my first daily Winnie goes to my friend, well, first my husband, and our friend Jose, who spent, I don't know, 7-8 hours moving us from one house to the other yesterday. And poor Jose, this is the perfect thing to do, ladies, when you want to get rid of something of your husband's. So Chad had one of those ridiculously huge workout machines called the Bowflex. You know, you've probably seen them on...
You'll find them on Craigslist by the hundred.
Yeah, infomercials, Craigslist right now. They were a huge infomercial. My husband, even though he's one of the smartest people in the world, he falls prey to late night television and infomercials. I can't explain it. I mean, we have like a shark steamer. We have like all this ridiculous stuff. So Jose really was interested in owning our Bowflex. So I told him, if you help us move, I will trade you the Bowflex for helping us move. Of course, Chad was like, what? I use that Bowflex. I said, I've known you for 4 years and I've never seen you use it. So we trade the Bowflex to Jose, but the big mistake that we did was we gave Jose the Bowflex on Saturday, and he needed us to help us move on Monday. Well, poor Jose could barely lift his arms and his back and his legs and everything because Jose had been working out. Okay, this guy, Jose, is like 6 feet tall and about 95 pounds, okay? So I'm sure that he was like, I'm going to hit the gym. So he started working out on the Bowflex on Saturday. And by Monday morning, my God, the poor guy couldn't lift an arm. He was 2 hours late. I had to call him and be like, Jose, where are you? And he's like, you could tell he just woke up. He's like, okay, I come now. He barely made it to the house, and he was just, like, totally sore in every muscle of his body. He's like, I was like, Jose, can I get you something? Do you want any medicine? He's like, no, but I do have a headache because my arms hurt so bad.
Jose couldn't read English and didn't know that you were supposed to start, like, 10 minutes, not 3 hours.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like he and his brother got on it, and he was like, yeah, me and my brother started having contests. Like, dude, you've never worked out a day in your life, and you just, like, hit this machine with full force. I mean, he's, like, he had swelling in his triceps. Boys. And my second daily Winnie, it's sad. Okay, if everybody can take their cup of coffee, hold it out, and pour a little out on the ground for our fallen homie. See you at Peeler's. The mayor, who was undefeated 22-0, was defeated yesterday in the $193,000 Nadia Lobel race. She was defeated. It was a shocker. She was at the Meadows, and let's just say that see you at Peeler's took off out of their starting gates.
You want to hear it? I have.
Oh, you got it. Okay, good.
See you at Peeler's on the outside. There they go. They're off and pacing. My love, my life goes right out for the lead. Between horses, Foxy Lady. Three wide on the outside. See you at Peeler's. Some girls do. Gets away. Fourth, racing fifth. Idyllic. Round the turn, six, that's Swinging Beauty. Racing seven, Pretty Catherine. Eighth is Rocklamation. Treading the field, Miss Malicious. Opening quarter, 26-1. CU at Peeler's, the leader, brings him into the stretch. Ideally, challenging on the outside, second. My love, my life, third. Ideally, puts the head in front and goes right on by CU at Peeler's. Major upset this afternoon at the Meadows. Ideally, and David Miller, the upset of the century in 150.
Oh, my gosh. It was just sad. Just sad to watch that. However, you know, much like our friend Zenyatta, who was defeated by a nose when she raced all the boys, we still love you more than anything, see you at Peeler's. And we think you're amazing. And we hope that someday we have fillies that grow up to be just as awesome as you are.
Well, and I got to say, you watched it. See the Peelers came from the far outside at the beginning of the race. I mean, in the last hole at the rail on the outside. And there must have been 12 rigs in this race. And that jockey took that horse off and got that horse to the front at a dead pace. I mean, they were flying to get to the front. And I think they just used Sea of Peelers up. By the end, Sea of Peelers just dropped off like she had lameness or something. You know, they're going to find something out, I think, about this horse, because just faded back to nothing, just stopped pretty much.
Yeah, Gwen, that's where in the racing world you say she came around the home stretch and started running backwards.
That's
pretty much what happened. Yeah, it seems, number one, that they just blew her out of the water at the beginning of the race. And I read afterwards that Mr. Tactor, the trainer, said that the jockey, do they call them jockeys? The driver just couldn't get her to calm down. He said he couldn't get her to slow down, couldn't rate her, and she just took off and didn't settle in until the end when she was already spent up. Now, I would think, as somebody watching that race, that they're going to, much like Uncle Mo, they need to start looking around health-wise, because all of a sudden to just stop like that and start going backwards was just an incredible, yeah, it just tells on it something.
Almost the whole field. I mean, by the time the finish, you know, by the time they crossed the finish, she got passed by almost the whole field. It was just, Jennifer will post the video up on our Facebook page so you can see the race. It was an interesting race.
We love you, girl.
I'm still saying see you at Peeler's at the end of every show. I'm not stopping that. I don't care. Hey, we have some really bad ads coming up on Friday, and we're going to be back with really bad ads, and we have a prize this week for the best really bad ad, and that is a $50 gift certificate from thetackhouse.com. It's an online tack shop with a twist. They carry English, Western, and driving equipment, accessories, and gifts, but the site is designed to benefit the equestrian community by allowing equine rescues, pony clubs, local shows, and other equine groups and associations to actually co-brand with them free of charge and to fundraise for their activity. So what basically happens is you're a pony club or a horse show or whatever, you can sign up, become an affiliate, and everything bought through your link gives you money back. It also donates part of its sales to equine research and is a big supporter of local and national equestrian events. So that's thetackhouse.com, a $50 gift certificate for the best really bad ad. Get them into Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with really bad ads in the subject line. And remember to copy the ad from Craigslist or from wherever you're getting it from and paste it in the email, because sometimes by the time, if you just put a link, by the time Jennifer gets there, it's dead and it's not there anymore. So copy the whole ad into the email.
I did find I've got a couple, and if I can qualify for the Tack House $50 gift certificate, I think I might win this week, because I found a Craigslist ad that was actually written by the horse, and it's pretty impressive. And then another couple trailer ones that one includes a stalk trailer, STALK, stalk trailer, and it might be one of the greatest horse trailer photos ever. So and
so you're going to win both the best picture and the best ad this week?
I just might. Y'all need to step up your game, because I have got some goods. stuff to post. And so we've got the good trailer one. And then also, I've been saving this, Glenn. And I've been saving it. And now it just seems like the perfect time to give you guys a photograph on Friday. When I was driving down the road in Phoenix, Arizona, a photo of a horse truck and trailer with a horse in it that I passed, that I made Chad slow down and get right next to him so I could take 100 pictures of this horse in this trailer while it was driving down the road. And I stopped him so bad and got right up next to him that the people driving the car actually started waving to the photos, to the camera. So many pictures of him. So we're going to do that on Friday, too, and I'll post it along with the photo of the stock trailer that I have and the ad written by the horse. you didn't know horses could write? Well, they can. And there's even written in some Japanese.
Well, that'll be fun. That's all on Friday. You can look for it then. Well, one other announcement here, a little bit of housekeeping. Lucinda Green is giving an eventing clinic, and Lucinda is a legend in eventing in England, and she is really – Jennifer, I know you really like Lucinda. You love when she's on the eventing radio show. She's a regular over there. I imagine that she is terrific at teaching clinics and things, but Lucinda does say it the way it is. She doesn't pull any punches.
Nope.
And she's given an eventing clinic here – isn't that true? That's true.
Yeah. Oh, she doesn't. Yeah. She doesn't pull any punches.
Well, she's given an eventing clinic here in Lexington for the first time in the United States in 10 years, October 11th and 12th. And you can get details from Lisa Malloy at 859-595-6660. And Jennifer will post that on Facebook as well. So if you want to do an eventing, boy, that would be one. If she was in your area, I would encourage you to take Jamie because you would love that.
Oh, I've had friends that have ridden with her that said that's by far the best clinic they've ever done. They learned more in that clinic with Lucinda than they did, you know, with any other clinician put together. I mean, she's apparently just a phenomenal teacher. I would love to ride with her.
Yeah. And as I said, it's her first time in Lexington in 10 years. So if
wow.
you're in this area, within 5 or 7 states, it's definitely worth taking a look at that. And I don't know where it's going to be here. I don't have all the details on that. You know, the other day, I have my questions of the day for today. I was driving home from Pennsylvania and driving around yesterday. I kept seeing school buses, and that reminded me of something. And I think every female that was a horse girl in high school will relate to this or will know what I'm talking about. Is were you that horse girl in high school, in your class in high school, were you the horse girl? I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, so half the class had horses. But we still had the horse girl, the one that didn't have any other activities, no sports, no nothing. You never saw her except when she showed up for classes. And then she was always, you know, in her jeans that looked like she had been in the barn. And she did shows all the time. She was the horse girl. So my question of the day is, were you the horse girl, and how was that being the horse girl when you were in high school? So were you the horse girl, Jane?
Well, Glenn, growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, I was the only horse girl in school, okay? So, you know, there was really nobody else that rode horses. And I was the crazy horse girl because I had horses at my house growing up, which was right down the street from the school. We just happened to have a bigger property. So, yeah, I was definitely that girl. Now, the other part of that is I definitely still had to do school activities. I played in a sport every season. I played softball. I ran track one time. I played basketball. I played soccer. So softball in the fall, basketball in the winter, and soccer in the spring. And I had to play each one of those sports so I could still keep my horse. My parents wanted me to be, I guess, some sort of well-rounded individual. See how that worked out.
Here you are working on a radio station talking about horses.
Yeah, from the farm that I ride horses at.
Yeah.
Good job, parents. Yeah, so I had to do the other activities to remain well-rounded. But you know what? The passion always shines through in the end. But definitely, I was the girl who, like, if I came to the barn, you know, came to school after I had thrown hay to the horses. I always had hay in my hair, and I would have, you know, you go to pull a quarter out of your pocket to get your lunch money out, and there would be like peppermints or grain that would come out with your money, you know, or you'd go to put your clothes in your locker and you realize that your shoes smell like, you know, horse poo.
Now, did you get picked on for that?
I went to a very culturally diverse high school, and the notion of somebody riding a horse in Atlanta was definitely a novel, I guess. And yes, I did definitely get made fun for it. I mean, I got crushed for it from certain people.
And I think that's true. You know, I'm making assumptions here across the board, but from what, you know, Jennifer was the horse girl, and we grew up in central Pennsylvania where there were a lot of horse farms, but yet she was still the horse girl, still got picked on for it, and has no interest in going back and doing any of the reunions because of it. So, you know, I think there's others out there. You know, I definitely think there's others out here who are listening right now who were that person. So, yeah, post on Facebook or give us a call at 347-637-3238. I'd be interested to hear if you were that horse girl.
Yeah. Were you the horse girl, Glenn?
No, I was not. And I didn't date one at that point either. I only started that later on in life. So
you were busy making fun of us.
That's right. That's true. And I was 25, so I dated the horse girl. And then I wish I'd figured that out earlier. For sure.
Aw, yeah. You know, I'm trying to think of all the things that people would say, you know, and like, I always had really long hair and always kept it in a ponytail, and they'd be like, you look like a horse. You look like a horse, you know, and I'm like, well, good, right, that's, you know, that's kind of, I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or not. I'm going to go with no. you smell like a horse. That's probably never good. You know, I mean, just, I'm trying to think of all the things that people would say, you know, and just kids are mean. Kids are
mean. Jennifer, you got picked on too in school, didn't you? Because you were the horse girl.
Yeah, I was the obsessed, awkward one that, you know, every notebook I owned was covered with little drawings of horses and stuff. I was a target, absolutely. I was a pretty sad case.
Oh yeah, my tracker keeper always had horses on it too, Jen.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
You didn't do any other activities though, Jennifer. You didn't do any sports. You just came home and did the horse thing.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do anything, period.
Yeah.
I didn't go to the dances, didn't go, no, nothing. Go to school, go to class, come home, go play with the ponies.
That's why her parents were so happy that at the age of 24, we met and she had a boyfriend.
Oh, they were
so relieved at 24.
Jen, was Glenn your first boyfriend?
He was the first boyfriend I kept for more than 30 days.
Oh,
that was pretty brutal.
Wow.
Yeah.
She didn't put up with any crap. I'm lucky I made it.
Yeah, you're lucky you're still around, my friend.
But you got to remember, I was doing acting, then I had armor. I just wore my armor and I was safe. I was good.
Oh, yeah. She totally saw you as her knight in shining armor. I mean, one who was going to sweep her off her feet and rescue her from the harsh high school drama that she had been dealing with, and you showed her a little bit of love and respect, and then you got her for the rest of your life. Congratulations, my friend. Well done.
And he bought me a horse.
You know, I wish I could say it was all that chivalrous, but I discovered that horse women have very nice butts. That's pretty much what it came down to. First thing
very
I saw.
Nice what?
They have very nice butts. That's the first thing I saw on Jennifer. She was wearing these bright yellow pants, and she had a nice butt, and I went, wow, that's a nice butt. And I went up and introduced myself to her. I wish the story was better than that, but it pretty much was that man piggish. It pretty much was that man piggish. I gotta
admit. She had a hot butt. That's cool.
Yeah, no, that's what
that's
I noticed
a nice
first.
Compliment.
And then I discovered that horse girls have nice butts, you know? So then I wished I had discovered that a long time before. But
you're a pig.
You know, I know. Yep.
Much
I am.
That. All right. Let's get to our first guest in a second, but I need to go ahead and do our commercial for today. Pfizer Animal Health brings you today's show. And at Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of all horses and all animals. Their expanded equine product portfolio includes the trusted Strongest C2X, West Nile Innovator, the innovator family of vaccines, Solitude IGR, and Zylexis. Pfizer strives to make life better for horses and the people who care for them. Protect your horses against upper respiratory disease such as equine influenza virus, equine herpes virus, strands 1 and 4, and from the Ford Dodge vaccine line, Pfizer Animal Health offers FluVac Innovator, adjuvanted with Metastim technology for an improved immune response. For more information on Pfizer Animal Health's products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. That's P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com.
Well, after listening to all of that, I'm sure our next guest is proud to be chosen as our blog of the month. And
I'm sorry.
And that is Maddie Butcher Gray with knickernews.net. By the way, what a terrific name, Maddie.
Thank you very much. It was a while in its evolution, but it's sticking, so I'll keep it.
You know, I think it's great. Knicker News, that's a terrific name. So how did this blog come about?
It was the result of going barn to barn and seeing a lot of horse people do things in similar ways and different ways. And I have a background as a reporter. And at the time when I was going barn to barn, taking care of other people's horses, I didn't have an outlet for my writing. And I said, geez, I just got to start writing about this stuff. So that's a short story.
I got to tell you, Maddie, that's one of the things that jumped out at us about your blog is, it's so well written. So the articles are humorous, and you can tell that you have a writing background because there's definitely somebody that knows a little bit about writing who started this. You know, I could tell that for sure.
Thank you very much. I like to say that I'm an adequate writer and an adequate writer.
And there you go. That's good. And you do all different kinds of things on here. The blog covers many different areas. I got to say that I was a little disturbed by the picture of the brain on their homepage when I went there today.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you know what? I saw that too, and I was like, oh, I was drinking my morning coffee, and I wasn't ready for something. You've got all these cute little photos, and then a brain.
Sometimes you just have to go for the shock factor, you know, you just...
Now, I guess there's a reason there's a brain pictured on, I mean, the actual horse's brain, like, sitting there on a table?
Horse's brain out on a table at a Martin Black clinic. These two guys that are working on this book together, Dr. Steve Peters and Martin Black, decided to kind of bring it to the masses on a very small scale up in Maine at a horsemanship clinic, and... I think it was just an unbelievable opportunity to kind of get down to the bare bolts of what's going on in the horse's head, and they've really done their homework. Steve Peters is a people neurologist, and Martin Black, as most people know, has worked from the ground up with horses, so it's a really fascinating collaboration, and I was just privileged to be able to chat with them and write about it, and I can't wait to write about it more. I just very interesting stuff.
And what are they trying to show with what they're doing? They're trying to understand how the horse brain works, or what their capacity is, or what?
I think their mission is to. Let people know that horses have abilities and limitations within the dynamics of their own brain and how their brain develops. And we as horse owners and as trainers should perhaps modify or change or encourage some things in our training that'll make the connection between horse and rider, horse and trainer, optimized. For instance, as I write about in one of the first articles on the horse's brain, you know, a horse is not capable of having a chip on his shoulder. You know, when he bucks you off, he didn't have it in for you. It's just not, you know, that's people's interpretation And
No, totally disagree. I'm pretty sure when my horse bucks me off, he means to do it, and it's because I did something wrong, and he's very mad at me, and he wanted to display his anger in an appropriate way, so he's like, screw you, I'll just buck you off, woman.
Okay, well, as long as you don't turn around and get him back, that's all right. No, but really, another thing I wrote about was, you know, you go to a meadow and you get off your horse and you let the horse graze, and for the person to have that experience, it gets all romantic, and you remember the flowers and you remember the birds singing, and really the only thing the horse remembers is that he got to eat. You know,
sorry.
So it's like.
That's awesome.
So.
Well, Maddie, I got to ask you, because I watched the video. You have is it a commercial that you have done for your blog? Would that be what you consider it?
I don't know really where the public service announcement is going to go. I just thought it was a great idea, and you know, come hell or high water, I was going to figure out how to make it. And it was one of those goofy little ideas that blossomed into a production.
Where do you live that you could do that? And I'm going to explain it to everybody here in a second, but where do you live, and is that you in the video? On the horse?
No, it's not me. I recruited a great gal that's a vet tech and also a real good horse lady. The pub that that let me come into their place is I don't know, 20 miles away. So, I mean, it's Maine. It's Maine.
Maine. Okay. So here it is, and I had to watch it with no audio, so I don't know if I missed anything, but this is hysterical. There's some people drinking in a bar. From what it looked like to me, because I only was able to see it on my iPhone, looks to me like a girl goes up to the wall, she makes a phone call and calls her horse, and her horse comes to the bar, comes inside the pub and picks her up, and then drives her home. Where did you come up with that?
Well, I saw a Department of Transportation in Montana video that was a little bit similar.
Oh, yes.
way better production. They didn't bring the horse into the bar, and it was very kind of Marble Man-like. And I said, okay, let's take this and make it funnier and have a little more fun with it.
It's great.
Thank you. The funny thing is that you don't see, and I can't wait to develop the blooper reel, is that I said to Scott, the bar owner, okay, let's do this on your quietest night. So it'll be a controlled environment. The horses will be chill and all that. And of course, word got out that we're going to be bringing a horse into a bar on a Monday night. And what you don't see is the place is packed with non-horse people who are banging on the piano and hooting and hollering as we're trying to get a horse unled into a crazy bar. that's what you don't see. So it was... From a horsemanship perspective, it was very challenging. Learned a lot.
What a good pony.
I loved how you had the pony coming down the street by himself with the lead rope hanging over his head. I mean, the whole thing was good. It was good. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks.
It was good.
Let's go ahead and let's post that on Facebook if we can, the YouTube video of it. And everybody, please go check out knickernews.net, because that's where you're going to find this and all the great articles we've been talking about. And Jennifer says it is currently posted on our Facebook.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And you guys are favorites on my page. So it's a two-way street. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you being on. That's knickernews.net. And that's Maddie Butcher Gray. Thank you, Maddie.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Such a cute video. Oh, my gosh. It's just adorable.
That's fun. Well, we're going to how about we do Black Beauty before the song today? And so if you can get that ready, that would be great. Well, and this is like the second to last day, right?
You saying that gave me goosebumps. I'm going to try to get through it. I'm going to try to get through it.
You want me
and
to
then,
read it? I can read it for you. I'll get through it. Won't be any problem at all.
So, yeah, we have two chapters left, people. Two chapters left. And I appreciate all of you who have been so supportive and have stuck with me. I'm still working on the next book, trying to get permission to do things. Glenn is such a stickler for rules and making me get one that I can read legally. Like, anybody's going to get mad. I mean, really. Like, is Marguerite Henry's people going to sue us? Really?
It's that whole getting sued thing that really bothers me. It's just kind of a pain in the butt. Expensive.
Such
a mess. I'll tell you what, I'll do it under the condition that if we get sued, it comes out of your paycheck.
Okay, let's go ahead and do Black Beauty.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 48, Farmer Thoroughgood and his grandson Willie. At this sale, of course, I found myself in the company with the old broken-down horses. Some lame, some broken-winded, some old, and some that I'm sure it would have been merciful to shoot. The buyers and sellers, too, many of them, looked not much better off than the poor beasts they were bargaining about. There were poor old men trying to get a horse or pony for a few pounds that might drag about some little wood or coal cart. The poor men trying to sell a worn-out beast for 2 or 3 pounds rather than have the greater loss of killing them. And some of them looked as if poverty and hard times had hardened them all over. But there were others that I would have willingly used the last of my strength in serving, poor and shabby but kind and human with voices I could trust. There was one tottering old man that took a great fancy to me and I to him, but I was not strong enough. It was an anxious time. Coming from the better part of the fair, I noticed a man who looked like a gentleman farmer with a young boy by his side. He had a broad back and round shoulders, a kind ruddy face, and he wore a broad-brimmed hat. When he came up to me and my companions, he stood still, gave a pitiful look around upon us. I saw his eye rest on me as I still had a good mane and tail, which did something for my appearance. I pricked my ears and looked at him. There's a horse, Willie, that has known better days. Poor old fellow, said the boy. Do you think, Grandpapa, he was ever a carriage horse? Oh, yes, my boy, said the farmer, coming closer. He might have been anything when he was young. Look at his nostrils and his ears, the shape of his neck and shoulder. There's a great deal of breeding about that horse. He put out his hand and gave me a kind pat on the neck. I put out my nose in answer to his kindness, and the boy stroked my face. Poor old fellow! See, Grandpapa, how well he understands kindness. Could you not buy him and make him young again, as you did with Ladybird? My dear boy, I can't make all old horses young. Besides, Lady Bird was not so very old, and she was run down and badly used. Well, Grandpapa, I don't believe that this one is old. Look at his mane and tail. I wish you would look into his mouth, and then you could tell. Though he is so very thin, his eyes are not sunk in like some old horses. The old gentleman laughed. Bless the boy, he is as horsey as his old grandfather. But do look at his mouth, Grandpapa, and ask the price. I'm sure he would grow young in our meadows. The man who had brought me for the sale now put in his word. The young gentleman's a real knowing one, sir. Now the fact is that it's your ass is just pulled down with overwork in the cabs. He's not an old one. I hear it is how the veterinarian should say that a 6 months runoff would set him right up. And being as how his wind was not broken, I've had the tending of him to these 10 days past in a gratefuler, pleasanter animal I'd never met with. And 'twould be worth a gentleman's while to give a 5-pound note for him and let him have a chance. I'll be bound he'd be worth 20 pounds next spring. The old gentleman laughed, and the little boy looked up eagerly. Oh, Grandpapa, did you not say that the colt sold for 5 more pounds than you'd expected? We would not be poorer if you did buy this one. The farmer slowly felt my legs, which were much swelled and strained, and then he looked at my mouth. 13 or 14, I should say. Just trot him out, will you? I arched my poor thin neck and raised my tail a little and threw out my legs as well as I could, for they were very stiff. What is the lowest you'll take for him? Said the farmer as I came back. 5 pounds, sir. That was the lowest price my master set. "'Tis a speculation,' said the old gentleman, shaking his head, but at the same time slowly drawing out his purse. "'Quite a speculation. "'Have you any more business here?' he said, counting out the sovereigns into his hand. "'No, sir, I can take you to the inn, if you please. "'Do so, I am going there now.' They walked forward, and I was led behind. The boy could hardly control his delight, and the old gentleman seemed to enjoy in his pleasure. I had a good feed at the inn and was gently ridden home by a servant of my new master's and turned into a large meadow with a shed in a corner of it. Mr. Thoroughgood, for that was the name of my benefactor, gave orders that I should have hay and oats every night and morning and the run of the meadow during the day. And you, Willie, he said, must take the oversight of him. I give him in the charge to you. The boy was proud of his charge, and he undertook it in all seriousness. There was not a day when he did not pay me a visit, sometimes picking me out from amongst the other horses and giving me a bit of carrot or something good, or sometimes standing by me whilst I ate my oats. He always came with kind words and caresses, and of course I grew very fond of him. He called me old crony, as I used to come to him in the field and follow him about. Sometimes he brought his grandfather, who always looked closely at my legs. "This is our point, Willie," he would say, "but he is improving so steadily that I think we should see a change for the better in the spring." The perfect rest, good food, soft turf, and gentle exercise soon began to tell on my condition and my spirits. I had a good constitution from my mother, and I was never strained when I was young, so that I had a better chance to see than many horses who have been worked before they came to their full strength. During the winter, my legs improved so much that I began to feel quite young again. The spring came round, and one day in March, Mr. Thoroughgood determined that he would try me in the phaeton. I was well pleased, and he and Willie drove me for a few miles. My legs were not so stiff now, and I did the work with perfect ease. He's growing young, Willie. We must give him gentle work now, and by midsummer he'll be as good as Lady Bird. He has a beautiful mouth and good paces. They can't be any better. Oh, Grandpapa, how glad I am that you bought him. So am I, my boy, but he has you to thank more than me. We must now be looking out for a quiet, genteel place for him where he will be valued. And tomorrow, the final chapter, chapter 49, My Last Home.
Now, you talk about how hard it is to get through the book, yet that was all happiness. Got a nice place.
I know,
place,
but then,
bed. Got a little boy looking after him.
I know. I'm crying at this stupid chapter reading My Last Home.
You're a mess.
Okay, carry on. I'll be with you in a moment.
Okay. Well, while Jamie recovers there, we have somebody that we're going to have to give a big congratulations to in a moment here. But first, we have our song, and I picked one by Templeton Thompson for everybody who's gone through some tough times there on the East Coast and recovering, and I thought it would be appropriate for all of you. It's called Unstoppable, because, you know, that's what we Americans are. We are unstoppable in the face of almost anything. So this is Templeton Thompson, Unstoppable.
I'm so happy, so lucky, I crank it up loud, yeah, it's good to be me. It's so easy to see why everybody wants to be free. 'Cause I'm moving and grooving and dreaming and singing at the top of my lungs. I'm an unfortunate one. Finally found a place in the sun. Thank you.
And that was
Templeton Thompson, Unstoppable. And Glenn, I just had to jump in real quick because I just want to let you know what is going on behind me. If you're hearing doors slam or bangs or Chad is currently right now as we speak. If you hear an echo in my house, it's because I am at my old house. I had to commute to work today. And a mile and a half to get to the old house because we don't have internet in the new house yet. And Chad is moving out furniture as we speak. He's currently taking, hear that? That was the washing machine being pulled out the door. So poor guy's out there by himself moving the washing machine and dryer. So that is actually what is going on if you're hearing noises in the background. I feel like my world is being swept away behind me.
Now, will you be in the new place tomorrow or are you still be in the old place?
We slept there last night. We are in.
Good.
Yesterday we went to the signing. To the paper signing, and I sat there and watched Chad with his good credit sit there and sign 1,000 pieces of paper, and me with my bad credit just sat in the corner smiling.
So are you going to be recording from the new house tomorrow, or isn't the internet hooked up yet?
We will not get – I had to talk to you about that, actually, because I may have to do one day on the phone or you have to find a fill-in, I think, because we lose internet here on the 31st. And we don't get new internet until the first at some point.
Yeah,
so
isn't that,
there's probably
such a love how that works.
First.
Yeah,
we wouldn't overlap. And I'm like, hello, I work. Hello, I need that. But they didn't care. So I'll probably be on the phone on Thursday.
Okay. All right, no problem. Hey, one of the other things I wanted to mention here, too, was that, what was it? I totally lost. It's gone.
Today's show is brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning, and I'm Jamie, and you're Glenn, and Jennifer's our producer. Was that what you were going to say?
No, but that helped me buy some time here, and it's totally gone. I don't know what it was. It was a good try.
Way to go.
I appreciate
Way
that.
To go.
We have somebody on the phone, though, that I want to congratulate this morning because she deserves some congratulations because she's an amazing woman. And that is my co-host of the driving radio show, Dr. Wendy Ying. Good morning, Dr. Ying.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much on the short notice for coming on. We want to congratulate you. You passed. Now, you're a veterinary doctor. You practice traditional Chinese medicine. And then you just took this long course on being a chiropractor, and you passed. And now you're a chiropractor, too.
You're the best. I love Kansas, but it was 5 weeks in Kansas in the summer. It was not easy.
Well, and then, you know, this was a solid 5 weeks of classes and courses and learning and you had some interesting things to say to me yesterday about the chiropractor test and about chiropractors in general. Boy, you know, you think that you go to vet school and it's tough and everything, but chiropractors, they got to learn every little bone and every little muscle and every little part.
They have to learn every little angle of every little thing. And, of course, it's important to do a good chiropractic adjustment. So you have to know that stuff to do chiropractic. It's just a lot. I mean, I really have a new respect on chiropractic for people and for animals.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. You said all the people pick on chiropractors, sort of like we all pick on dentists for being the lowest life of the doctor community. They always get picked on for that, and chiropractors always got the same treatment. But you have a new respect now, don't you?
I do, and also I because I didn't know a ton about chiropractic before, about the philosophy and exactly what they do. But, I mean, basically they're medical doctors, and they have – you know, a degree. They're primary caregivers in the human field, and basically they have a great attitude, a great philosophy towards wellness. So that's what I really, really like about chiropractic. I like that they want to treat the whole animal to be healthy, not just wait till they get sick and treat them. I was thinking, too, when you were talking about how people don't have the respect, the only thing I can relate to that is the show 2.5 Men. Have you ever seen that? Pre-Charlie Sheen going crazy?
I actually watched a little post-Charlie Sheen going crazy because I love to follow Charlie Sheen on Twitter. But
Yeah, it's funny because his brother Alan is a chiropractor, and they'll go to pick up chicks, and he's like, "I'm a doctor," and he's like, "You're not a doctor, you're a chiropractor." You know, like,
oh, they say
like
that on the show?
Oh my God, yeah, they just rip him for being a chiropractor constantly. So you'll have to watch a couple of them. They're pretty filthy, but it's definitely entertaining in the fact that they pretty much make fun of him for being a chiropractor the entire time. In every episode.
Well, now you are so you got it all now. Is there anything left? I mean, you're practicing traditional Chinese medicine, you're a veterinarian, you're a chiropractor, you do acupuncture. I don't know. You got to stop going to school at some point here.
I am. I'm not going back to school ever again. But I I have something new. I just started today.
What is it?
Okay, you know how all of our guests on the driving radio show that are totally cool always end up being also their Roman riders, right?
Did you stand up on your horse today?
I did. I rode my favorite one, Duke, that I told you about last time, and I have this like barn that has an overhang and has these pipes like pipe rafters.
No.
So I was holding onto the pipe rafters and I made him stand there and then I stood up on his back and he didn't care at all.
Okay.
I didn't walk. I didn't walk around. I was scared. First of all, the fact that you just said that all drivers are Roman riders, I don't believe that for a second. Second of all, the fact that you stood up on your horse.
She said all the cool ones.
I know that being a driver, you guys don't really wear helmets all the time, but I hope when you're standing up on your horse holding onto the pipe rafters from your barn that you do actually wear a helmet for that activity. No, I was not wearing a helmet. And also, I was glad that I had my flip-flops on while I was riding because I could just kick them off and then stand up on my horse.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Glenn, please talk to her, okay?
Look,
I can't listen. I can't take this.
Roman riders don't care about safety. They just, like, you know, they just throw caution to the wind. They're Roman riders, for God's sake. If you're worried about safety, you just, like, sit down and have a saddle.
I'm losing my breath right now. I can't breathe. I'm having a panic attack.
You should do it. It's fun. But you know what? I think you definitely need two. I think it's easier with a pair. Because one, it was kind of hard. I had to put my feet close together.
Next she's going to be doing vaulting. You know, though, she's going to be doing vaulting. She'll be vaulting off the side of the horse.
I would, but I am too unathletic to do it. Like, you know, in the horse park, they have that little vaulting exhibition, and I got on the little horse and tried to do it, and I was horrible at it. I actually have pictures that I hope Sterling never sends to you because I don't want those on the driving radio show page.
I got to say, Wendy, that I am really super excited for you becoming a chiropractor because now every time you jump on your horse's spine and move it around, you can readjust him and put him back in line after you're done damaging him.
Hey, you know what? That actually is great. Maybe that should be the Dr. Yang's chiropractic technique. I can do it with my feet.
Well, you know, they do that in massages, don't they? Don't they do that in massages where they walk on your back? Is this any different than walking on a human back, right? You're giving them an adjustment.
I think that happens in Thailand, Glenn. That's pretty much it, though.
He's Chinese. It makes sense.
Yeah. I can put them right in the cross ties there and then walk up and down their back. I would have to put a different kind of rafter in, or maybe I should put, like, rings on it. So I can hold on to something until I get good at my balance. Then I can do it without holding on to something.
This all sounds very dangerous, Wendy. I'm going to get a call someday from Sterling. Wendy can't do the show today. She keeps falling off.
Well, I have rubber mats there in the aisle.
Oh, that's good. Is Roman riding something you never aspired to do, Jamie?
No, I'm fine with the Roman riding. I think that's awesome. It's just the fact that she said, no, I had flip-flops and no helmet was really the part that got me.
Well, you don't want to wear your boots when you're Roman riding. I think most of them do it in soft shoes or something, don't they?
I think you have to.
We'll have to ask our next guest. Your next cool guest. Roman riding's fantastic. Good luck with that. I'll cheer you on from the sidelines.
Thanks.
Wendy's so happy she came on this morning. Anyway, you can follow
Well, you know what? I want, I actually just walked in from my lesson one of Roman riding, and then I had to call in, and I was so excited that I had somebody to tell.
And look at Jamie's busted your chop.
That's right.
She does that.
Oh, I adore you, Wendy. You know I do.
Oh, thanks, Jamie. I can't wait to meet you in person someday.
Did you guys see the picture? I got to ask. Did you see the picture on Facebook of the bubble-wrapped pony in Vermont?
No.
Did you see that one? Oh, I have to find that one and upload it. It was the cutest darn picture. They were getting ready for all the flooding, and they put all kinds of pool things and bubble wrap and the little floaties on the legs, and they had pool wraps on the tied to the back, and the entire pony was bubble wrapped. It was so cute.
I actually did see that. It was like a mini, wasn't it? A tiny pony?
It was a tiny pony. And I can't believe he put up with all of that. But it's been all over Facebook. I'll put the link up right now because it was very good. It was very good.
I can't wait to see it.
It just reminds me of what that's what we need to do with you when you're doing your practicing your Roman riding, is we need to just wrap you in bubble wrap and put little floaties on, and then you'll be fine. I just posted
that's a good idea on Facebook.
Jamie, so you can go take a look at this stinking cute pony with all the wraps on.
Oh, that is so cute. Wow, he's going to be sweaty.
Well, thank you, Wendy. We appreciate it. We'll be talking to you later in the day. We'll be recording the driving radio show.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
See ya. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Congratulations,
Wendy.
Again.
All right. Oh, they've got bubble wrap on this pony, and then they've got the little water wings for kids around his legs, and then they've got, like, those big, like, flower floaty things for kids on his back and around his butt. Poor little guy. And he looks thrilled about it, too. He looks really thrilled.
Judging by the size of this particular pony, he could float without all that stuff. This is one fat pony.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have a problem, but it just makes it a little easier because God forbid he get any exercise. Swimming.
Well, let's hope he didn't have to use all of that yesterday up there in Vermont. It was very cute, though. Very, very cute.
Yeah.
Hey, you had a story here out of my home state. It looks like somebody was doing some bad stuff.
Yeah, isn't this crazy? Zenyatta, come here. The dog barking and the echo in this house is just unbelievable.
That was Zenyatta this time.
Well, Perfect Angel is just letting me know that there might be somebody outside coming to get me. What she doesn't realize is that it's Chad. so she thinks she's doing a good thing. Zenyatta, come here. Oh, I'll tell you the story.
Very excited about that.
It's literally Chad walking out of the other door in the house. But they just had to let me know, okay?
Good watch, though.
Mom, 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 look, 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 Mom. I swear that's what they say. There's somebody coming out. Oh, my God. All right. The story, the University of Louisville in Kentucky says that it has fallen prey to clever and deceptive employee after the employee embezzled $463,000 from the equine program. Dr. James Ramsey said that they did a university audit report, and it revealed the details of the missing funds. Obviously, Alicia Ward, you have been fired. You're fired. You're definitely fired. Alicia Ward used money from the equine program.
Allegedly used.
Why don't you tell everybody what she did with the money, Glenn?
Oh, well, she allegedly had some fun with the money. First of all, how do you go that long? Don't they do audits like every year or twice a year? How can you? And how much money does the equine program have that somebody can steal $500,000 from it and not go notice for a while? Tell me
And she was dumb, too. Like, she wrote checks to herself.
I know. By the way, she did improvements on her house, as well as personal purchases, which ranged from clothing, books, and electronic items to car repairs. That's a lot of car repairs, $500,000.
That's insane. So does, in the end of this, does the equine program get its money back, or do they eventually just, do they have to, like, wash it, or do they
only
sue her?
Only if they repossess her car. I'm sure she's going to be, oh, look at this. University spokesman Mark Hebert said university police had handed the matter over to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Louisville. My guess is she can be spending some time in jail. No charges have been laid at this time over the missing funds, but she was there since 2007.
Hey, Glenn.
And she, yeah.
The second to the last paragraph, the equine industry program from which she allegedly stole nearly $500,000, runs through the University College of Business, which has an annual budget of $1 million. She freaking allegedly stole half the money.
Yeah,
$1 million for an equine program budget. I should have gone to college there.
They said the program director, the auditors found, had placed too much trust in Ward and failed to oversee her activities properly. Yeah, no crap.
$500,000. Now, I want to know, did anybody listening know Alicia Ward? She was fired from the Equine Industries Program Senior Program Coordinator, and then the person that hired her, he has also been fired because he was supposed to review the checks and the purchases and manage the program's money. So there was a couple of them. So they're all fired, and hopefully University of Louisville has maybe somebody in place, you would think. I mean, school's going to be starting here soon, I guess. I don't know. Let's get somebody from the University of Louisville on. I'm sure they'd love to talk about this.
Yeah, I'm sure right now they're very excited to chat about that, yes. And one other thing, you know how we always cover the movies that talk about horses? Well, there was one we talked about a long time ago that was coming out in France called Of Women and Horses. And it's about a working-class woman who tries to get into the world of dressage, and she discovers how snobbish and elite the horse trainers are, and it's a story about how she overcomes this and goes out and wins stuff. Well, the first review I saw that came out, and I'm just going to read it to you. Even those fascinated by dressage will wonder why Patricia Muzet, her producers, and the cast thought they were making with Of Women and Horses, meant to be the tale of a headstrong woman and a jaded trainer engaged in a battle of wills that will lead to triumph. The clunky results are hobbled by bad dialogue, sloppy editing, and poor use of music. No one appears to be holding the reins, though this woman apparently is no stranger to filmmaking. She said this movie will likely be put to pasture following a projected mid-December opening.
Ooh. Oh, no. And I bet the horse is whinny throughout the entire thing, too. Jennifer loves that.
Love whinny.
She loves
going down,
ex-cult
salute. Me!
So of Women and Horses probably should not, according to this review, be tops on your list for the holiday season.
Yeah, no, I don't think we'll be attending. I mean, the idea, no, I love riding dressage. I really do. And I think that it's a great exercise for horses and riders. That being said, going to see a movie about dressage people interests me about less than zero. Again, love dressage, love riding it, love teaching it, love training it, love being a part of it, love competing in it. Going to see a movie about dressage women, DQs, not so much. Not so much.
Yeah, and, you know, seeing horse people fight, I've seen that before. I really don't need to go see it again. Thank you very much. Had that in person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, how about
another,
that dummy thing you found?
Let me talk, and then you'll see that I'm about to tell you about the story from Horse and Hound. If you go to ardall.com, ardall.com, there is a new way to train your horse and to break and start your horse. Paul Murphy, he's a show jumping trainer. He invented the breaking in dummy, and it has been launched to improve rider safety when breaking young horses. It's amazing. I mean, it's a dummy that you put on the horse, and you attach the actual body of the dummy, and then you attach the legs later, and it straps to the stirrups, and there's all these straps involved. And there's a video of how to use it and how it works that we'll post up on Facebook. It's on ardell.com, and then the videos after that. I put the video link on there, Jennifer. ardell.com/videos. And it'll make you laugh, because these horses, they get this dummy on their back, and I really think that they probably buck way more with the dummy than they would have bucked without the dummy, because this thing is flopping around.
Flopping around like crazy. I thought the dummy was going to be stationary.
No, this sucker pops like a bronc rider, okay? He's like up on his neck, bends all the way to his back. I mean, the worst that you could do to your horse after this would not be half as bad as the unbalanced dummy that is sitting
on his
back.
Maybe that's the point.
I know. And for Glenn, and I did the conversions for you, for the tune of only $1,000, this dummy can be yours. $1,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a little overpriced. That's an expensive dummy.
That's a pretty expensive dummy.
You could hire a dummy or two here in the United States to do that for a lot less money. Telling you.
You'd hire him for what is minimum wage, like $5 an hour? There you go. $5 an hour, so you could get a lot of dummy riding. Wow.
You know, I think it's a clever idea, actually, you know, because it's safer to put, they want the weight up there. I get that, but I really didn't think it was going to be flapping around that much. There should be two settings, one for the very beginning where you don't want them flapping around, and then maybe when you're a little bit more advanced, when you have advanced dummy 102, you can unhook the whatever and it makes it flap around. So I'm thinking there needs to be a part two to this dummy.
Like a different setting where you could stiffen it up a little bit or make it loose and wobbly. Like to me, when a person gets on a horse, I don't want it to buck. Even that first time, I don't really want it to buck. I don't want it to know it can buck. I don't want it to learn to buck. This sucker creates a buck. I mean, this thing is flopping around on their back. I mean, granted, it doesn't look like it's going to fall off at all, but it's flopping around on their back and forth and back and forth, and it just looks like it's scaring the bejesus out of these horses.
It definitely is, no question about it. Hey, one other story, and then we're going to call it a day because you have to finish getting moved over there. And this one, it's a perfect one to end the day on. In Crawford County, Arkansas, the Sheriff's Department Captain Sean Firestein said he was driving through Rudy, that's Rudy, Arkansas, Sunday when he saw Vic Herman Garner, 53, violently kicking a horse and cursing at passersby. Firestein said Garner appeared to be intoxicated, and when he asked him to get off the horse, Garner took off into the woods. Eventually, the horse got tired and slowed down, allowing deputies to arrest Garner. Garner is facing charges of fleeing, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and a felony of animal cruelty. So I was very happy to see that at the end of this article, they did charge the person with animal cruelty for kicking the horse, too. But apparently Garner had a little too much to drink and was in town. I thought that only happened in Texas. This is the first story we've had of a drunken riding outside of Texas for a while.
Well, you know, it's almost odd because it's like a police chase happens, the ensuing chase, and the car runs out of gas. Well, the horse ran out of gas this time, and that's how they were able to catch him. That's a pretty good story, actually.
And he's now recovering from a very bad headache. So
we're gonna
end the day on that. Don't forget that all of the shows are available at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to get your really bad ads in for the $50 gift certificate from thetackhouse.com. Thank you to Pfizer Animal Health for sponsoring today. We really appreciate that. Somebody will be back tomorrow, depending on Jamie's internet connection. Good luck moving the rest of the stuff today and getting the boxes unpacked.
Thank you very much. I've got a lot of organizing to do, and it's going to be another busy day, but at least most of it will be in the air conditioning today. Enjoy your 80-something degree temperatures, and it's going to be a balmy 116 here today, so that should be nice. Everybody, enjoy. Please remember to spay, neuter, and geld.
And I give you a very sad, see you at Peeler's.